interrupting the current neo-uranial, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you on to woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting Episode BTWRLM 624. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport. So get you behind a woodshed, because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch and get you behind a woodshed. And that dose of reality, because you can't go wrong when you get behind a woodshed. That's us acting, folks. That's us doing what we need to do. Stop all these miscreants, all this nonsense. Don't be led by the nose until drowned. And as we also have to be free to get the word out at all, all y'all up there in UK, United Kingdom, listen up. It'll be an ongoing thing, I think. We'll see how far this goes. BitChute discontinues video sharing service in the UK residents over online censorship laws. BitChute, a platform widely recognized for its commitment to free expression and open discourse, has officially withdrawn its services from the United Kingdom, citing untenable regulatory conditions under the UK's recently enacted censorship law, the Online Safety Act. The move comes in a direct response to regulator Ofcom's newly enhanced authority, which enables a communications regulator to levy fines as high as 10% of the company's global revenue if deemed non-compliant with the Act's sweeping censorship demands. This shift is in regulatory climate marks what some view as a profound erosion of digital freedoms in the UK. BitChute's decision could serve as the first signal of a broader exodus, with other international platforms potentially following suit to avoid the heavy-handed oversight so codified in British law. In a detailed public statement posted to its website, BitChute explained the rationale behind the drastic steps. Quote, "After careful review and ongoing evaluation of the regulatory landscape in the United Kingdom, we regret to inform you that BitChute will be discontinuing its video sharing service for UK residents." So I'll leave the rest for y'all to find at the link of the blogcaster, or type it in and get onto the internet to see it. I asked both Ray Vahey and Reclaim the Net to add how people can in the UK can work around the problem, but they didn't respond. I haven't seen anything yet. And I think that's really one of the problems with all this new communication to work out when a difficulty hits. We don't really all communicate at all. So this is not too, that part's not too encouraging to me. So I'm going to guess, I suppose, but it seems to work in other places. Almost the network that we do not, the platform we do not want to mention almost now, being knocked out. I think it's up almost around 90 accounts, syndication accounts for behind the woodshed. But not a BitChute. BitChute's been pretty good. And I wish we had more following there, but it's possible there's two browsers that might get you in to BitChute's website if you're from the UK. And I would have you try the Tor browser, the Onion browser, or the Mulvad browser. Not the service necessarily, unless you want to, but the Mulvad browser. It has a VPN it goes through, and it seems to work fairly well so far in using that to get to places. And then there's also, I suppose, the VPN that you could do. And on the Tor browser, if you have a block still, you can reach up into your file and ask for a new circuit, and it'll repatch a new circuit around, because sometimes the UK has a server in it, and that may block the signal. But if you just hit new circuit, it'll reroute a circuit. That's the one for the platform that doesn't want France to get their messages. That's how I do that around their stuff. But anyway, so try maybe even to buy, if you have to buy a VPN. No, there's a free one. Proton VPN works pretty good. And that should get you around. You can select whatever country you want. They got quite a few servers available for the free version. Anyway, so anyway, I'll leave that all to you for now, until I get better info. For those of you that are in the UK who want to get behind the woodshed at BitChute, try those suggestions, and hopefully you'll hear some of this, and you'll know that to do that for even the rest of anything you do there. And I don't know anybody we should be saying, no, I don't go use those services, because as we're seeing, services are being co-opted from the back end, being spied on, surveilled, and other companies or platforms are trying to move on and stay away from that. And so we may have to keep up. As I've said before, it may be we have to start keeping up where all these platforms start to go. why Real Liberty Media has done trying to do what it's doing in order to help alleviate a little bit of that. And again, it's a lot of work and still going on. So as I guess I can ask, if you will, donate, find the donate buttons and donate what you can. It's an ongoing thing. Like I said, Sound's working a ton of work behind the scenes no one ever sees. And just to keep this word going, like I said, we lost a couple more accounts. And he's added a few more, and got found another couple more platforms. So we're trying to get that to work as well. We're also on this situation getting through. We have this digital realm, but as I said, we're doing this transition, and we're in this fiat system that they're trying to transition from. But we're living through the consequences now of using fiat in this global reset to parity that Trump continues after starting it with the great Kobe swindle. One question in mitigation is whether U.S. manufacturing can come quickly back through and become price competitive enough. As I was talking last episode, so I want to delve into that just a little bit more. It's coming clearer and clearer. Again, the consumer, they deem you consumer. This is all commerce. They don't care that you pay. And a lot of people are starting to see that now. The prices are now being moved through for us to pay. The way that this tariff may work and not work against us is if there's some relief in the form of those income taxes that Trump, you know, waved a banner about. But that doesn't come from him. That's from the Congress. So it's whether or not Congress will eliminate those income taxes as well, or whether sound money begins to be used by people. That would circumvent something as well. And there's some motions in this. There's some actions going on in the states that are kind of going in those directions. And it's not so easy. I'm surprised that isn't a quick answer for people, but there's been some states that tried to get this these sound money, silver and gold coin, to be brought forward as legal tender, so-called, and they haven't flown so quick. So that's why I said we just need lots of hands that know, have an intention to get this thing to save. It's really to save us. So there's a lot of other factors in all this fiat system, tariff thing, that it ought to run like that, but at the time that it ought to have run, we didn't have a lot of overburden with relative to us. We certainly didn't have the civil right of paying taxes and suffering and enjoying punishments and pains. That happened after Lincoln time. These other factors will determine how bad we the people suffer as our standard of living begins to match those in the rest of the world. And the U.S. dollar world reserve currency manipulated into the austerity that caused Chinese people to jump out of buildings and kill themselves. Remember those stories that we were hearing? Foxconn jumping out. They had to put saving nets underneath them. I know we haven't heard much about that anymore. They clamped that down pretty good. The whole question will be on this thing coming through is, can we the people rise up? Trump is hoping that you can, to make Trump look great again, I think, here. But back to the tariffs. The fiscal responsibility by Congress is a necessity. And we're talking, that's the budgeting that we hear about, so-called. Trump says that the tariffs bringing in $2 billion a day is what he's trying to look at right now, but that doesn't add up enough to cover the new trillions-dollar to go to war budget the peace taker just agreed to as well. So instead of the global gloating and chest thumping Trump is doing for all the trouble he's causing, he would save money not funding the war machine to the tune of trillions of dollars. The peacemaker he claims to be, though, would be better than feeding his ego, threatening the countries of the world with tariffs instead of seeking trade balances with measured tariffs as time goes on for just cause. And the more I hear this week, it's just cuz. As I said also last week, how much more nonsense are people going to believe and put up with this? I just don't know. I'm seeing the comments. They want to cheerlead about this. This is a serious matter for us in America. We thought the 70s were bad. I think this may be a lot worse, and I've said before why, last episode as well, in running this thing back through, trying to put some focus and some heat on it. The administration admitted these wars are, this is a war by sanctions through tariffs on China. And so we are looking at Russia and Iran and China. That's the RIC, not the BRICS, but the RIC, the first of the BRICS nations to come together. And the White House explained that existing sanctions on Russia already preclude any meaningful trade, rendering additional tariffs unnecessary on Russia. So that was showing you this is in the war that I was telling you. The United States, through Biden, put those sanctions on. It was like spitting into a hurricane. We lost the opening salvo. We lost the whole thing. You're watching the whole thing take all these years to work out. Trump has can claim these tariffs are unjustified, that China's tariffs are unjustified, but China has the same duty to protect itself as it deems fit too. So does Trump want tariffs or trades or a refrigerator store? Okay, so this is what gets me questioning about this guy. I told you I'd like to have seen him go the right way, but I've got to criticize what's going on, and I feel like almost my duty to do so. Unlike anybody, any American should have that duty. And we're gonna, as I get through these tabs, you're gonna find out maybe people don't, and they claim America. How do you claim America but not stand up against government not working correctly? So Trump's ideas are terrific, but not terrific. With these high enough tariffs that there will be a no trade with China, and they got upped again. Like I told you, they're gonna go up. Now it looks like they may have stopped. But they're now like 245% for China. China stopped. I think they realize what's going on there. They don't need to, actually. And they are diversifying. So, but these, as I said, I'm trying to remind us here, these economic sanctions, these tariffs, they raise high enough to stop the economy, and you're looking at what's called embargo. And that's an illegal wartime embargo as well. So I want to remind us of what's going on here as we move through these times when we're going to be needing to protect ourselves. You're a consumer, and I was touching on all this but before. I'm going to touch a little bit more on it. You are deemed to be the recipient of the benefits of corporations, and that's it. You don't have much more than that. We have to continue to watch out for ourselves at home. That these jobs that they're kind of claiming, if the manufacturing goes on, and there's some companies moving here, but you have to look at what they're talking about. It's not really that important relative. They're only doing it for 4 years. So understand that. These companies are targeting their investment for 4 years only, just like I told you. So consider generally, and I'm not sure that China is so weak as to whether the sanctions war storm through tariffs to cause China to be different than Russia and Trump spitting into his tempest, like Biden was spitting into that hurricane or hurricane if you're needy, which Trump started or continued from Obama, right? So this is like an ongoing thing. This is a more uniparty stupidity. That's stoopidity for my hearing sensitive listener there. And for our part, America will have to match those domestic manufacturing losses and reconstructions, which I talked about long years ago, a decade, when we Detroitified the country. That's what we were talking about. That has to come back. That's a big, giant investment. But all this, there's no infrastructure to build on, so it all has to come from like zero. And will will we, the people, outpace that fall that's apparently coming? You see how fast the price of gold kept going up. It's not really hiccuping it at all. And there's that profit taking, but we're watching the weakness in the system, that fiat system. And I've been advocating that we need to pull out as best we can and work with the silver and gold and just leave that other part behind. I don't know how. You know, like Americans will stand up rows and rows of workers screwing phone frames together all day, making an American wage slave plantation great again, but modernized by the Siberian gulag, if the jobs aren't taken by the humanoid automatons, Atlas or Optimus, right, P.T. Barnum Muskrat? And of which Hyundai, of all companies, just made a deal with Boston Dynamics to supply Atlas with tens of thousands. So that means you're not getting those jobs as they regauge this manufacturing capacity that didn't exist back in the 70s. The fortunate in the U.S. to work then will be no better than the people of China suffering sesame with their approval, interestingly, in a Stockholm Syndrome sort of way. And like Russians seem oblivious to, as Russia leads the way to sustainable development, globalized, cross-border, modernized digital panopticon, Siberian gulag token citizenship and arcade. We can see this happening right in America now. Trump wanted manufacturing. He's getting it, but the companies are looking at way ahead and what the technology now gives them. Hyundai to buy tens of thousands of Boston Dynamics robots. Now, we've seen the movies of the robot Atlas running around getting built. You know, he's getting his actions on. Really impressive. Again, the technology is kind of cool when you just kind of look at it as a machine. And we said that the robots would make things easy for us, but what we have also understood that it makes it easy for us to sit on the couch and that's all you get. Don't remember the technocracy, so-called, sits back there like with this. They tried to push it through with the Covey swindle. You get your basic, universal basic income, because that's all there's going to be. And so, because they're not going to have a job. Boston Dynamic Incorporated, Hyundai Motor Group. Now listen to Hyundai Motor Group, because this ends up becoming, I thought Boston Dynamics, I'll leave a little bit of the punchline here. I thought Boston Dynamics was an American company. Well, it may have been before, but you watch how the world starts to shift really quickly. The Hyundai Motor Group yesterday announced plans to deepen their partnership, which includes Hyundai purchasing tens of thousands of robots in the coming years. The automaker will also help Boston Dynamics grow by integrating its manufacturing capabilities with Boston Dynamics. Hyundai said it is also already deploying Spot robots for industrial inspection and predictive maintenance at its facilities. The Seoul, South Korea-based company plans to deploy Atlas across its factories. Quote, Boston Dynamics and Robotics AI will play a crucial role in achieving the group's goal, stated Jaehoon Chang, vice chair of Hyundai Motor Group. Quote, physical AI and humanoid robots will transform our business landscape to the next level. Through our collaboration, we will expedite the process to achieve leadership in the robotics industry. So I'm highlighting a few words, I hope you pick those up, that are the language and clues of what we're already talking about in which China and Russia have already embraced years ago when they embarked on the BRICS, as I've been talking about. Hyundai out of South Korea is talking the very same way. And if I get to the end of the tab, we're going to find out how that works in the United States and how these robots are working and how they're going to make either slave labor or no labor in the United States as we're working through this problem where Trump's going to make tariffs great again and somehow that makes America great. You have to understand who he's really talking about. Last week, Hyundai Motor Group announced that it will invest $21 billion Bravo dollars in the U.S., including $6 billion investment to drive innovation and expand strategic partnerships with U.S. companies. And by the by, Hyundai Motor Group acquired 80% stake in Boston Dynamics in 2021, don't you know? Well, this is an in-house condition. This is not two corporations like they talk about and advertise here. So Hyundai, made in America, no sanctions, no employment. Means no money to pay your bills and for Hyundai's products either. Most certainly will make America great again, right, Trump? Or do robots make things so cheap at home that stuff they make is given away? Yeah, fat chance. On your ever-leaning life. It's austerity thing they're coming on. So sanctions are leading us where? They promote the end of the globalization process, as we heard Starmer talk about last episode. We think this globalization is of products, like referencing supply chains. But it's the process required to get populations to a certain point, which can be disregarded once accomplished, like a collaborator would be dismissed if they survive after that little work that they've done. And Trump began destroying the product supply chain with the great Covey swindle, while onshoring globalism through and for the socio-economic digital takeover. Right, Muskrat? I hope you're putting this together, what I've been saying for years and years. We're coming together now this week. We're going to show internally to the United States how, as I said, Trump is destroying the foreign influence, like, let's say, the WHO. And he's not. He's onshoring the functions without anybody really knowing it or paying attention. Unless you see this stuff. Like I said, here's the words in this story for the Hyundai robots. The humanoids, that I can tell you that's what they're talking about. And we'll see how that works through here. So how else would they allow unrestricted cross-border travel of people, information, and goods unless those are interconnected digitally, monitored for parity size at parity equals social economic compliance servitude to the needs of Gaia. Neat trick, don't you think? We'll pull that together. They're always talking about in these stories about cross-border travel and your cross-border payments and how easy and simple and free it is. Okay, but this is the socioeconomic compliance servitude part to that third-party liability that you become subject to. Neat trick, don't you think? Oh, we'll let you and your speech travel sanction-free, but here's the deal. You have to bend a knee and kiss my hiney. Right, Trump? Okay, so remember last episode, he's talking about that. He's got this arrogant attitude. He's telling us what's really happening coming in the future. You don't have free agency, free will, free anything. You're going to be a consumer, and that's it. Control. And the technocracy, the machines, the mechanisms to profit corporations are going to be on the forefront. And I guess I wasn't the only one considering insider trading with these Trump traipses out of his banker buddies to gloat over the billions of bucks his friends made, which fired up another Congress co-swindle to complain to take the political advantage as well. So watch how this works. These Congress traders must know something as this happens and goes on behind the scenes that they're not telling anybody about. U.S. Senator wants Trump probe for market manipulation. So always Trump, Trump, Trump. Always, oh, we're making America great again. I've been telling you, look behind the scenes. Who is he making great again for? It's none of us, actually. We just get the residues. Adam Schiff has called for an investigation into who profited from the president's tariff pause. United States Democrat Senator Adam Schiff has called on Congress to investigate President Donald Trump for possible insider trading market manipulation following his abrupt trade policy U-turn. Global stocks soared at the president's pause of the imposition of tariffs on a multitude of countries this week. On Wednesday, Trump announced a 90-day pause on reciprocal tariffs against U.S. trade partners, lowering duties to a flat 10%. The only exception was China, which was hit with an increase to 125% following Beijing's tariff hike on the United States goods of 84%. And I told you that jumped to 145, and now it's sitting at a threatened 245. And China is saying, it doesn't matter. This is what you've done. We'll look elsewhere. However, they're also doing what Russia did. They're telling Trump, when you become respectful, we'll talk with you. So that's very interesting. I see lots of people, the Trumpsters, the cheerleaders, saying, oh, they're capitulating. Well, they're not. They're saying they've always wanted to talk, like Russia says, Putin says it. We'll talk. Just bring some respect for us with you. And this is the big problem that's got the United States in a lot of trouble. The administrations are not respectful of other people or other countries and what their needs might be. Immediately after the announcement, U.S. stock markets posted near-record gains after week-long slumps. Mere hours before the announcement, Trump posted on his Truth Social platform, "Be cool, everything is going to work out well," followed by, "This is a great time to buy, DJT," referencing his media company stock ticker. The timing of his posts and the pause and the resulting market rally sparked speculation about market manipulation online, which became even more heated after White House aide Margo Martin posted a video of Trump praising financier Charles Schwab for making billions during the rally. Quote, "Trump removed many of the tariffs he had imposed in this on-again, off-again kind of policy. This has just wreaked havoc on the markets," Schiff said in his video address posted on X. Quote, "But there is another profound danger as well, and what is insider trading within the White House? The question is, who knew what the president was going to do, and did people around the president trade stock knowing that the incredible gyration the market was about to go through," he added. Schiff went on to accuse Trump of corruption, citing his family's crypto trading and the conflicted self-dealing of an ally, billionaire Elon Musk. Other Democrats also voiced concerns. "The President of the United States is literally engaging in the world's biggest market manipulation scheme," the House Democrat Financial Services Committee wrote on X in response to Trump's time to buy post. It's always interesting to me how the government is now communicating through X. Just amazing. But anyway, so we know that the Democratic Party has no, isn't Lily White for sure. And Ukraine proved all that. And we all wonder how people that are used to be bartenders who owed money walking into the Congress now 2-3 years later are millionaires already. So I feel this is one of those things that one point finger pointing, Adam Schiff pointing to Trump, three pointing back. They're all doing it. This gives us an opportunity, as I was saying, use this time, this chaos, to actually start focusing energy to start outing this whole thing. Not so sure it's going to work. I'm just saying it needs to be done. I don't see the organization that we need, but I guess the Democrats are jealous that Trump made more with the tariffs canard than they did with Ukraine. As we read, Representative Stephen Horsford of Nevada openly questioned whether the pause amounted to market manipulation during House hearings with Trump's trade representatives. Representative-elect Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called for all lawmakers to disclose recent stock purchases. I've been hearing some interesting chatter on the floor, she wrote on X. Disclosure deadline is May 15th. We're about to learn a few things. It's time to ban insider trading in Congress. And that's not the only thing that's going on either. So I think this is a great time, and all this fluff is coming out, all this nonsense is happening, that I wish people as a group, as a population in a nation, this nation, would get together and start to really get force people to start that are supposedly representatives that seem to be outside of this involved in really looking at themselves and or start to get shake stuff up on the, if you will, the people side. This spin cycle, out comes this good thing, I believe, and it is time to ban insider trading. It's time to not make them the office of profit that they're using now, but the office of profit and duty to the people that they've taken an oath to serve, even though, again, there's a whole other study that's never been that way. I'm always torn on how to discuss this country, the United States of America, because it started out as a commercial servitude. And we don't quite get that. And then I've found through the lineage of things certain exceptions that I've brought to you as you listen. It was an exploitable experiment to begin with. So banning insider trading, you think? And that statement is an admission, isn't it? So, but who are you going to call? And what's the tangible accountability? But how are you going to know when they cook the books? What they should be disclosing is not their books, but how they got from a couple $100,000 congressional salary to millionaires in just a few years. And then either adopt that strategy for ourselves so we all can become millionaires, democracy and all, you know, or outlaw the conflict of interest it creates in someone claiming to be free or of undue influence in representing you. That's what it seems to be. If you want to make this illusion that they're representing you, certainly they can't be doing this insider trading and representing you when you're starving or having trouble or whatever the heck the fiat system has put on you with all their rules that the insiders know. I mean, how good would Social Security be doing had the billionaires did for themselves was applied to something like, let us say, Social Security, an investment dividend like people living in Alaska get for oil. The Trump pump, dump, pump that would make America great again, right? Except it's a big club and you ain't in it, but pay for it dearly. You like eating your cake too, right? That's the way this place is wired. Full-blown war had already begun in Missouri, as I reported on it behind the woodshed when I challenged the Attorney General how he did not commit fraud on the court when failing to admit that he failed his duty to ensure local health officials had faithfully followed local communicable disease law requiring demonstration of a non-fraudulent infectious agent. So as to not evade the clean hands doctrine to show how the equity court, how the state had the clean hands, that it had a lawful cause upon which to complain that China, without withholding that PPE, we were heard, that they talked about as a harm, was proper against a non-existing infectious agent. So listen carefully here. The global financial system entering uncharted territory. From the Deutsche Bank. The U.S.-China standoff risks escalating into an outright financial war with no winners, the bank's head of global FX research has warned. Now, we'll call your attention back to the title, Global Financial System. We talked about that. It sits there way in the back. No one knows about it. It sits there working the whole time. It's everyone's involved and wants to be involved and going to be involved. The U.S.-China tariff escalation is moving the global financial system into uncharted territory and could cause an outright financial war. George Saravelos, Deutsche Bank's global head of foreign exchange research, has warned. Now, let us jump through the word salad to the important part for my discussion here. Quote, the next phase risks being an outright financial war involving Chinese ownership of U.S. assets, both on the official and private sector. It is important to note that there can be no winner in such a war. It will damage both the owner, China, and the producer, United States, of those assets. The loser will be the global economy. The next phase? Didn't the next phase, so-called, already occur when Attorney General of Missouri declared he was going to confiscate the Chinese-owned property to satisfy the judgment? Wasn't it he that failed to tell the court that he had no proof China done COVID, but bore a fake witness, false witness, that it did to rig the game, to take the first shot in the existing financial war against China? Well, that'd be justice. You think all is fair in love and war when these types of come after your property rights this way? So Deutsche Bank describes the war, and then Missouri, Attorney General of Missouri, already done it, folks. As with Russia, the war is on. Unlike Russia, where the United States lost in the opening salvo, China has already declared this financial war to be an existential threat that it will fight to the end. Do you all understand how serious this peace taker is bringing to us to the brink again? By his avoiding self-inflicted buffoonery that he just proposed to throw another trillion onto the anti-peacemaker, warmongering peace-taker gambling table? The article goes on to advise that it is important to note that there can be no winner to such a war. It will damage both owner China and the producer U.S. for those assets. The loser will be the global economy. Well, what they talk about is the global financial system, the bankers, right? So this confiscation and misery by that attorney general is way beyond who blinks first, if the nations claiming the existentiality of the threat are doing so honestly. And watching what they've done in the past and how they've done that, what they've done, I have no reason to doubt their certitude, China. Trump brags he knows what he's doing. Well, he can't know what the other guy is doing or going to do when pushed into a corner. This is how serious this stuff it becomes. We don't seem to perceive it. And yet, like I said, the news just tells us there's things out there to pay attention to. There's already been a confiscation of property, which defines financial war. As Trump touts a record $1 trillion Pentagon budget, saying there are lots of bad forces threatening the United States. Is that what we elected him to do? Make a $1 trillion budget to go fight bad forces out there that he apparently creates? This is pretty cool. We already heard this technique, right? Create the problem, and then you have the answer. But look at this answer, and I told it to you about this a long time ago back when he was running. Your sons and daughters are going to go to war. Your sons and daughters are going to die. For bankers, essentially. As they tend to try and parody, they try to bring this neutrality in the world, globally. The global economy gets adjusted. and the global financial system is there to receive what's left. As the global financial system is controlling other things, which I'll get to after a bit. And we get us back to the Hyundai robot thing, and that you may not have a job. And if you're going to have a job, you're probably going to be a worse wage slave than you think you are now, if you have a job. So how sane and soulful is a peacemaker that insists on a $1 trillion war budget? Well, Trump says he succeeded in cognitive tests that Biden refused to take. Now, I don't know. Part of my mind is, look how infantile this, look how sophomoric this sounds. I mean, all this stuff. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, this is the news. This is what we're walking and talking about. And we have to analyze these people that are making decisions that are literally now affecting our lives in real time without, almost directly. No. U.S. President Donald Trump said after an annual medical checkup that he has a strong heart and a very good soul. And unlike former U.S. leader Joe Biden, succeeded in a cognitive test. Overall, I felt I was in very good shape, a good heart, a good soul, a very good soul. I wanted to be a little different than Biden. I took a cognitive test. I don't know what to tell you other than I got every answer right, Trump said in a statement cited by the White House press pool. So he says a good soul, a very good soul. And that statement sort of terrified me a bit. How about you? And then to find out that there's a man-made messianic soul purity test. Who knew? Apparently committing genocide has a divine approval. And how does getting every question correct on a cognitive test measuring psychological stability? Asking for a friend. This will be yet another example of why America cannot be great again. The evidence that the United States of America was made of cracked porcelain is being produced every day. The evidence that you live in an occupied territory cannot be avoided. And the only question is, will you have the courage to look at the truth? My experience has been that many won't. We see and read, Trump defies court order to stop blacklisting journalists. The White House has reportedly continued to bar the Associated Press. The Associated Press has reportedly reported that its journalist and photographer were barred from the United States President Donald Trump's press conference with Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele in the Oval Office on Monday. The White House excluded the AP News team despite a court order restoring their access. Last week, the federal court in Washington, D.C. ruled that the ban violates the First Amendment. Quote, under the First Amendment, if the government opens its doors to some journalists, be it to the Oval Office or the East Room or elsewhere, it cannot then shut these doors to other journalists because of their viewpoints, Judge Trevor McFadden wrote. The White House is appealing that ruling. Just as a side thought about that, like, I want to see how big Air Force One gets to put every journalist in there. So this is an under problem for this. But here we have AP won their case. You can't be discriminatory. The White House can't do that. The problem for me, and again, I'm not talking about this. I'm saying that Trump should know that. He shouldn't try and trample all over the constitutional rights. And these rights in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, are to be protected, remember? He's supposed to stay so far away from touching them, we shouldn't even have this as a question. According to the AP, its reporters remain barred from the Oval Office and Air Force One, but receive sporadic access to other locations, including briefings by White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. To Beaver? Trump has frequently attacked what he calls the lying media, accusing journalists of spreading fake news about him and his administration. Last month, Leavitt criticized an AP reporter for asking what she called an insulting question about Trump's tariff policy. In February, Trump barred AP from most presidential events after the news agency refused to refer to the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America in reporting. Trump officially renamed the Gulf in January. Quote, as a global news agency that disseminates information worldwide, the AP must ensure that place names and geography are easily and easily recognizable to all audiences, the outlet said at the time. And don't think here I'm supportive of the AP organization itself, okay? I'm talking about principles underlying all this stuff that's going on. We're watching, to my mind, major failures going on, major encroachments upon our rights. Then you think it's just talking about AP? Well, everybody has that right, essentially. And yes, there's not a lot of space, but this leads us to other places. If they'll do this afar, if they'll do this at a distance, if they can do this to us at a distance, then we are not safe. And my problem with all this is the lack of due process. There's an order, and there's no review of the law, and it just goes into effect, and now everyone's got to go and defend themselves, defend their rights. You've got to waste the time and energy. The Bar Association must be loving Trump, is all I can say. But I'm not necessarily supporting AP. It has to do with the press, the access to the information. How they resolve all that would be totally different. And then how many news organizations, you know, can they fit in the Oval Office? I don't know that, but that should be neededly worked out. There could be a lottery as well. That's not for me to say. I'm saying this guy comes in and just shuts out somebody. He accuses somebody. It's done. It's over. And this is the danger I'm seeing. But this is a matter of the checks and balances also that we want to see moving and working. And I'm kind of interested that we do have some of these. Yet, and when I said that, like I said last episode, I may not be embracing the judiciary. We do see checks and balances working, even if those are political and not judicial. As we hear, the main contention is, oh, that was a democratically elected or assigned judge or whatever, or a Republican judge. So that's a problem right off the bat. I've told you about that before. But these checks, the court declared on Trump with the check and balance power that Trump violated a constitutional provision protecting access to the press. So notice this is not just freedom of the press to exist, but the right of the press to acquire information, which is an appurtenant right to the enumerated one, which I talk about a lot. And this is not new. I'm just pointing these things out that seem to go unmentioned in a lot of discussion, if mentioned at all. More importantly, it seemed to me this notion of checks and balances between the branches is being breached by Trump without question here. Said another way, when due process was fulfilled, Trump denied Trump too. As I've said, Trump does not respect due process in you that he can make America great again. Is my main contention at this point. I've been watching this going, and he's come out right full out and never bashful to run you down on anybody's due process rights. As I said, I don't know if you get a due process what your condition would be, but you should have the right to defend or assert whatever rights you may have before you get ejected, before you get thrown in the cage, before you get denied some kind of a thing, if it's allowed to anybody else. He doesn't care about all of that. And I haven't heard the court acknowledge any emergency provision to strike the First Amendment, let alone any reason offered by Trump, as he has to do, even if it's made up. But clearly claiming the media is lying and accusing journalists of spreading fake news is not enough. Even made up, the basis has to be a sufficient need, if it can be, even under a present emergency, which have their own basis, which would not be applicable or not, because those are not named as reasons in what he's done even since he's gotten in. He doesn't have that power with all these emergencies and things he's done. So that's the exigent circumstance requirement. The same thing absent in the great Comey swindle. So most everyone alive today, RIP to the jab harm, and if not, everyone has witnessed that failure of law and justice, now further evidence to be uncheckable and unbalanced without the accountability that we see, that Trump continues to start. Again, this is not just starting. This is Trump won. He was in that the whole time. What I was pointing out. I think it was Andrew Jackson told the court to pound sand, what you going to do about it? And I think he might be taking a lesson from. It may not be a good lesson, though, as we'll get to the next story here soon. Next, down a couple more tabs. But I believe it said a court can order a federal marshal to arrest Trump for his failure to adhere to a decision of the Supreme Court. And the question is, will it? Are there actual checks and balances in practice? or is the U.S. Supreme Court as feckless as our disbelieving eyes see it? Because, you know, the Supreme Court wouldn't actually admit you are an occupied people in order to bring this out. So I might be premature in my premise of the cracked porcelain, but I'm not holding my breath. The cracks seem to be bad enough now. I don't think it'll hold a cup of tea that has may have survived the harbor back when. And such as it's our beginnings, made worse within the usurper-in-chief, old dishonest Abe Lincoln, the consequences from which and others used by Trump to toss y'all and any rights you thought you has into the harbor too. As the Supreme Court watches, and the Congress allows, in not repealing all the emergency war powers acts that have ever been implemented. We talked about these when they did that back in, I think it was around 2015. They made a big deal about getting rid of emergency acts. I said, but wait a minute, the two most important ones still exist. And then they didn't get rid of the Patriot Act. So, we need to get those wiped clean. That'd be another good thing for people to work on. I don't know how it will work out, but we pressed Congress to get rid of all war powers and emergency powers. So the country you thought existed doesn't exist and can't be made great again except through the Trump's greatest show on earth promotions, right, P.T. Barnabas? Are you homegrown? Have you heard that story coming? Are you homegrown, folks? Does Trump intend to send you to a foreign country that won't release you even when the government is wrong? You're following that story, right? I'll get to that in a minute. Did you know that home means tax home? A commerce entity? A U.S. person? A status you have but are not? You have a person. You are not a person. And a U.S. citizen subject to civil rights at 42 U.S.C. in 1981, as I talk about, such as taxes, pains, and punishments. Your civil rights, folks. Taxes, pains, and punishments. And now extrajudicial rendition, as I explained, would be the case in and around the 2010s, discussing the murder. So anyone that missed what I've been saying or has never heard this is that far behind now. They were incrementally moving this thing along. And worse than that, it took me almost 20 years before that to deconstruct the machine, at least the way I have found it. And what I've given here is some of the footnotes in the construction and transformation plans of what people today think is America. So we're all that far behind coming out of the gate and having arguments with me or other people that come with this information moves us closer to proving, despite my disbelief, that we the people are merely occupied, that we is a conquered people. In other words, international law instructs us that a conquered people will never come back to any prominence. We have evidence of that. Where? Talked about this before. But one of the examples being the Native Indian tribes in the United States, relative to the U.S. government treatment. You are undead. Just like the U.S. person you have and maintain and don't throw off as if required of unoccupied people. Right, Palestinians? And who are themselves used as the terrorist excuse to occupy them. Right, U.S. homegrown? You know who you is? You think you know who you is? The country you thought existed is gone, or never was. So if you are not a conquered people already living on your knees, and despite your hopium to the contrary, what are you going to do about all that? I mean, beyond keyboard warrior. Are you watching what you're being told in the news these last few weeks, these last 3 months? What have I been talking about, the homegrown? I'm leading with people. I hope you're reading the news. Very serious stuff. It's shocking to me. I don't even know. My mouth drops in the morning sometimes. I can't believe I'm reading this stuff coming out of this guy's mouth. Trump. Trump to El Salvador president. Homegrown criminals are next. POTUS doubles down on a comment to reporters. He's making a title, Homegrown Criminals. We talked about this way back in 2010, the Patriot Act before that. You are a criminal. You're presumed a criminal. Your innocence, your presumption of innocence is gone. That's why you had to do the identify yourself to every company. so they can keep track of where the criminals are going. It's already happening. But homegrown criminals are next. Who decides that? And who decides that when there's no due process? When someone just points their finger, I told you about the bureaucracy, I told you about the Siberian gulag. Someone says you've experienced in your video platforms. They say you've done wrong, you're wrong. They want to ban you from life? They ban you from life. Trump administration and El Salvador's president have made it clear that Kilmar Abrego Garcia will not be returned to the United States after his mistaken deportation to his native country, despite the Supreme Court's ruling that he must be brought back. But another moment from President Trump's Monday meeting with his Salvadorian counterpart is also making headlines. The moment when Trump told Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele during their Oval Office meeting, homegrown criminals are next. I said homegrowns are next. The homegrowns. You've got to build about 5 more places, an apparently reference to the prisons that could fit more prisoners in El Salvador. As Trump continued, it's not big enough. Administration officials could be heard laughing in response to the comments, the USA Today reports. We could laugh. There's a gentleman that is in El Salvador that cannot get out, and he was wrongly renditioned there. I don't think that's a laughing matter. Trump doubled down on the remark later, telling reporters, we always have to obey the laws, but we also have homegrown criminals that push people into subways, that hit elderly ladies on the back of the head with a baseball bat, that they're not looking, and they are absolute monsters. I'd like to include them in the group of people to get them out of the country. He acknowledged, however, that the administration officials must investigate whether it's legal. It's not, according to legal experts who spoke to NBC News. Quote, it is pretty obviously illegal and unconstitutional, says one. Trump officials have floated the idea of deporting U.S. citizens on multiple occasions. Understand this guy? They still haven't really looked, and they're still pushing this point. Cannot make America great again. It's not clear whether they're refusing to people born in the U.S. or naturalized citizens when they're talking about that. He doesn't really care. They don't know. They haven't studied. And I don't know of anybody who would look at this and say, you're not supposed to do that. They're just not supposed to do that, period. And we got a little bit of backup if you listen a little bit about what's happened to the gentleman. Now we got Abrego Garcia got taken out. The courts are coming back and saying, no, you can't do that. Here's the problem with all that. El Salvador leader, no, I won't return deportees. Of course I'm not going to do it, President Nayib Bukele said during the White House visit. The president of El Salvador said Monday that he has no intention of returning a man deported from America by mistake. Quote, of course I'm not going to do it, said Nayib Bukele during a visit to White House, reports the Washington Post. Bukele was referring to the high-profile case of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, an El Salvador native who was picked up in Maryland and is now in a prison in his native country. Bukele suggested that sending him back would be like smuggling a terrorist into America, per the New York Times. Well, there's a whole lot wrong with that. The Supreme Court said that wouldn't be that. So what is this other president in a foreign country infringing on the sovereignty of the United States? But I won't go through that whole analysis either. There's a lot of people that want this guy, Garcia, there. And when you look at the complete record, there's a lot of questions, despite what a judge has said, which was a conflict of interest, what the ICE organization says, what the Trump administration says. Again, the guy got tats. That's good enough. Well, it's nearly not. But onto the story here, why this is no good, why we have to be careful of what's going on, why this is really shocking that this could be happening, and why it feeds right into the post-9/11 problem. Well, you have no rights, and you're going to like it. Forget the property. Your person don't have property. Your person is property of the United States. It doesn't need due process. Earlier in the day, top Trump advisor Stephen Miller said it was up to Bukele to decide whether Abrego Garcia would be returned. The Supreme Court last week backed up a federal judge's ruling that the U.S. must facilitate Abrego Garcia's return, but the White House made the case Sunday in a new court filing that it is not obligated to do so. Instead, it says it is only obligated to allow his return should El Salvador decide to release him. The White House maintains that Abrego Garcia is a gang member, but his lawyers say that isn't true. And some of the quick evidence I found of discussion of what was going on, apparently he's being charged or being accused and attached an event that happened, a crime that happened in New York, and he's never been to New York, and the judge won't allow that. El Salvador turns away senator trying to see the prisoner. What are we talking about here? We're talking about you being improperly renditioned to another country. And now we got this, the courts come in and say that was wrong, return him. Now we have a senator coming to go down and visit you. In El Salvador, that country turns away that senator trying to see the prisoner. Vice President won't let Chris Van Hollen talk to the prisoner on the phone either. Senator Chris Van Hollen met with the Vice President of El Salvador after flying there on Wednesday, but he was not allowed to see Kilmer Abrego Garcia, the purpose for his trip. The United States Supreme Court has ruled that Abrego Garcia was in the U.S. legally and should not have been sent to a foreign prison by the Trump administration. In San Salvador, the New York Times reports Van Hollen told reporters he was calling upon President Nayib Bukele to do the right thing and allow Mr. Abrego Garcia to walk out of prison. A man who's charged with no crime, convicted of no crime, and who was illegally abducted from the United States. I mean, I can't tell you, folks, I read this stuff, any one of us that were to do that, we'd be in prison, and they'd probably throw the key away relative to that. And Trump thinks he can just get away from it scot-free, and they have their legal attorneys that will say that they have every, oh, it's their, wash their hands, oh, sorry. No, no, he violated his oath of office. He violated the most sacred part of it. The senator said he met with U.S. Embassy officials and the nation's vice president, Felix Ulloa, who would not agree to release Abrego Garcia. Let me also, if you haven't picked it up, look at the machinery that's now in play, running, having to turn on and have to be dealing with this problem, all on a so-called mistake that they knew they couldn't do. Why? Because they didn't find they could do it. He admitted that, didn't he? Oh, they're just going to make it up. Nor would Aloha allow Van Hollen to meet with the detainee to speak to him on the phone per Washington, telling the senator he needed more time. Van Hollen also told reporters, quote, President Trump and our Attorney General Pam Bondi and the Vice President of the United States are lying when they say that Abrego Garcia has been charged with a crime or is part of MS-13. That is a lie. Let me interject. I've seen quite a few people saying, documenting that the government has said he's MS-13. The judge said he's MS-13. People are saying he's MS-13. Again, go back and start reading even a basic review of some of the evidence. And that is a question. It looks like there's a misidentification or the government's lying about putting him, Garcia, in a place he wasn't. And no one's looking at that problem. And don't forget, this decision was made before a judge that the government put him, the judge, in place as a favorable jurisdiction to get what they wanted to. So you think it's Mr. Garcia. I'm saying consider it you. Consider it your family. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying that this has already been happening in this country. This is just one we can highlight. Well, how'd they redemption people to other countries? Well, it's inside your country they do this. It's the injustice inside your country that they do this. The same, you don't have separation in between the branches. The attorneys would take this guy out of where he was and put him into Louisiana where he had no right to be, or to move him from Maryland, or to wherever they put him, is not correct. To address laws that were broken that haven't been, no evidence of it, and a judge accept that is lawless. And I don't think enough Americans have experienced a bit of that. And so it's easy to dismiss that, oh, he's just a foreigner. No, he's not. He was legally here and he had rights. Now, are you going to dismiss his rights? You're going to have to dismiss your own. I don't see anybody talking about that when they're so flippantly saying this guy's a foreigner and needs to leave. And this has been our danger since 9-1-1. Not many people really have seen it. This is BTW RLM 624. Anybody else see the immense danger in this precedent going on? I get no one here responding to this alarm as well. They get on either side. They're deemed to be Democrats and progressives or whatever, that liberals for asking for due process for the guy, or, oh, you're Trump, Trump, Trump. But now it's making America great again. Extrajurisdictional rendition is not some fanciful fear sensation to get clicks, which my broadcast doesn't respectively get many anyway, but I guess that proves the point straight away, doesn't it? There's no weight to this problem when someone like myself has said it for over, going on, what, 20 years now? I look at the feeds and stuff about what's going on. Really, are people this brain dead that this hasn't raised much of a concern? People lost their instinct for survival as well. Remember, government is simply force and violence. And this is what we are allowing when we allow this to happen to Mr. Garcia. And I'm just going to take on the surface what hasn't happened, the due process, and the failure of due process on what has happened, and say he deserved a whole lot more before they stuck him on an airplane. But because old Nick here says, fight, 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 when he knows they won't or can't, is how this keeps moving. Being sent to a foreign country to prison by mistake without cause, or right in the government indefinitely without remedy. Not the help even from the legislative branch of the government helped here. It's helping at this point. Or the criminal in the White House causing it. No accountability at this point. No economic retaliation to gain innocent man's return against El Salvador? We can't do that. We do it everywhere else. Why not now? This is the stuff that makes America great again? Are you kidding me? How do you folks blindly follow this criminally abusive president? How can you look at yourself in the mirror and call yourself an American? Or have all y'all that do forgotten that to be an American comes with the obligation and duty to challenge government at every infringement or breach? And if you don't, America will never be great again, if it ever was. Also on Wednesday, Democrat-Republican Yasemin Ansari said she, too, will go to El Salvador, per the AP. My parents fled an authoritarian regime in Iran where people disappeared. I refuse to sit back and watch it happen here, too, she wrote in a statement. Americans, where are you? And Trump wants to bomb that authoritarian regime and replace it with an apartheid regime. How can any of that make America great again? It's lost on me. So 9/11, by way of Obama's extrajudicial executions and threatened extrajudicial rendition, is perfected by Trump, and people think this is the American Messiah? The Zionists claim Trump for theirs, and he didn't put his hand on the Bible in taking the oath of office to defend America, remember? Explain to me how that has, can, or will make America great when great Americans have abandoned America herself, unquestionably, for the Zionist Messiah-in-Chief. So the guy is long gone, but justice, unjustly slow in America, causes delay and injustice. And this is supposed to be America, great America? Oh, but we have the check and balance. Well, this is not a check and balance. And it's because someone in the office of the executive branch moves way too fast without knowing. He admits he doesn't know, and they haven't checked whether he could be able to do it. And everything I've looked at, everything I've seen any judge look at, And we're coming on to another story. A Republican judge found he was wrong, too. So if you want to go political party, we do have other eyes looking in that we would think would be conducive to Trump that are saying, nope, 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 that's pretty clearly wrong. Federal judge finds probable cause to hold Trump administration in contempt. A legal scholar explains what this means. I'm going to read some stuff here, but there's a lot more to read to it. I think you should go collect up these links and get a little bigger hearing for this and see what's going on. Watch how the government destroys us. It destroys our rights. And I've been suggesting how to anticipate a lot of that all my years doing this. I guess it really irritates me to watch this going down. But someone like Trump, who really did have the ability to do it correctly. A battle between the Trump administration and federal courts over the deportation of over 100 immigrants to a prison in El Salvador intensified on April 16, 2025. U.S. District Court Judge James Boasberg released an opinion saying that he had probable cause to hold members of the administration in criminal contempt. That potentially dramatic action was in response to the White House disobeying Boasberg's March 15th order in the halt the flights taking those immigrants to El Salvador. So here we come, and now we get to witness what happens when an executive branch regime, an executive branch administration, goes afoul of the judicial branch and the tools they have to attempt to bring accountability and the law to bear, that at least it has some time in the discussion at all. The government's actions on that day demonstrate a willful disregard of its order, the 46-page April 16th opinion says. So for more on this, I found a video explanation that you can also listen to later. Get the link at the Blogcaster. It's called Fed Up Judge Goes Scorched Earth at Trump in Court. This case should show us the various tools the judicial branch government can use, and I think it's worth watching carefully here what's going on, and this is how this is supposed to check the excesses. And in a way, I don't care that, let's say, I don't even know if this is the case, but if this judge is a Democrat-appointed judge, I don't care. Watch whether or not they do by the law, as I said before. I don't need to know if ICJ's 15 judges have any authority. If 15 minds look at an international law and come up with the same answer as the law, and they come up with the same answer, in this case for me, after I had done my own analysis by the same law, and we all have the same answer, I don't care who those folks are. They got it right. This is what the law is supposed to do for us. We're supposed to look objectively. We're not supposed to need this deciphering. So we'll see how fast and whether the Maryland man is returned after his illegal abduction and rendition to a foreign country without lawful due process, and all Americans should demand nothing less, is my mind. Why we don't see these things working more often in automatic mode when the government gone bad, with each branch checking the others, is why America cannot be made great again, and maybe why it never was, its colonial corporate commerce roots aside. And I've been touching and talking on some very serious subject matters all these years. And I tell you, we don't get too deep because I don't see any reflection from people. And until we all have a basic foundation, there's nothing we really can talk about. There's really nothing we should be arguing about. And we have no basis to argue. What we are arguing about is our ignorance. And when we get into that, we abandon our own rights, our own whatever they are, even if they're the dire right of self-preservation, the right to resist an occupation. We're completely foreign to that. And that requirement for due process is affirmed here again against Donald, deny him due process, Trump. But how can Trump possibly make America great again like this? I just don't get it. The court finds Trump appeal over Abrego Garcia shocking. Facilitate is an active verb, judge tells administration. United States Court of Appeals of the Fourth Circuit needed little time on Thursday to reject the Trump administration's case for blocking a judge's orders to bring back the man who was illegally deported to a prison in El Salvador while pointing out the clarity of the situation. And this is another point that just fries me. Another group of judges. This is a clear-cut case. Why can't you see it, Trump? Well, he's not looking, and he don't care. And that's super dangerous, I hope you think. I think it's super dangerous. It's certainly not, again, it can't make America great again. These were supposed to be presumptive restraints that Trump does not have in him. Nobody in the regime administration has it in them. And it's not that the Democrats do have it, because they don't either. It's a uniparty, remember? Again, when I talk against Trump, it doesn't mean I'm embracing any other side. This is not about the side. This is about the people. Quote, it is difficult for some cases to get to the very heart of the matter, but in this case, it is not hard at all, the court said, per the Washington Post. Quote, the government is asserting a right to stash away residents of this country in foreign prisons without the semblance of due process that is the foundation of our constitutional order. Close quote. What have I said about the due process may be the last vestige of the Constitution at all that we have any right to, and they can't get rid of it? Reaffirmed right here. The vote on the three-judge panel was unanimous. Now, I know this could go up and down, I could go up the courts. The point is, you look at the law, this is the way it was supposed to do. It was pretty clear he ought not cause that to happen to Garcia. Everybody else's objections, oh, he's a furner, get him out of here, aside. It doesn't hold water whatsoever. Oh, he was a MS-13. It doesn't matter. That's not what the immigration and illegality was about. If he was agreed to be here, it was done, it was settled. The administration's claim, quote, should be shocking not only to judges, but to the intuitive sense of liberty that Americans, far removed from courthouses, still hold dear, close quote. Judge J. Harvey Wilkinson III wrote per the AP. You understand what I just said is what he just said. Americans couldn't cotton to what we're seeing. But you can hear I'm maybe getting a little bit too uppity with it. This is just not right. And I've experienced some of this lack of due process, a lot of lack of due process, even locally, which just irritates me and infuriates me even more. The administration's claim should be shocking not only to judges, but to the intuitive sense of liberty that Americans, far removed, is what I just said about people that are coming and saying, this guy's a foreigner, get him out. You're not Americans. You're not shocked at this. I guess that's the point. And if you're not shocked, there is no America in you. Because Americans should be shocked. Whether we can do anything about it, well, we're finding out if we raise our voices and keep persistent, we do change things. You're watching Trump do some changing as well, but really quietly. But back to this. The judges, quote, cling to the hope that it is not naive to believe our good brethren in the executive branch perceive the rule of law as vital to the American ethos, the Republican appointee said. And the Court of Appeals there said a whole lot more, showing how much deeper the obligations of government is preserving fundamental rights or in remedy for government breach. So get the link to expand upon what I've been explaining relative to the loss of what appears our last functional right is in Trump, to stop Trump tyranny, or that of anyone else for that matter, as we go through into the future. Again, the precedent starts to be made. It has to be stopped. Because Trump claimed he'd make America great again, then flushes due process like so much toilet paper, makes this even more egregious than I think if he hadn't. Trump's actions are more like an Israeli firster than America first, to me. And I think the judge just coincided with that. An American should be shocked at what they're seeing here. And if you're not shocked, I'm going to go the other way. You're not an American. Doesn't mean you can't be. Start getting shocked about this stuff. It didn't take a judge to say that. I mean, that anyone agrees with this, and by all the apologistics contortions, is what is truly shocking. Are you homegrown? How do you know? And when do you find that out? When Bukele is conveniently powerless to help you there in El Salvador? What about these immigrants? You know, we have a righteousness of America. We don't want just anybody flooding in. This is the whole problem with what Trump capitalized on to exploit. There's an orderly process, and a lot of people go through it, and there's a lot of work behind it. A lot of dedication to become a citizen of the United States from a foreign country. I don't know of anybody that downplays that trouble and the feat that it is to do that. I think you become even more knowledgeable about your government, your country at that point than I think most people are educated in the United States anymore. However, immigrants deemed dead, no due process here again, folks, the theme. The harm that this is causing. Put yourself, whether you, it's a foreigner, get away. Don't say that. Put yourself in this place where you're needing something you've accepted. The government said that they give you, and all of a sudden it goes away. No reason. Immigrants deemed dead show up at SSA offices. The Social Security Administration has taken the unprecedented step of classifying more than 6,000 immigrants as dead to pressure them to self-deport. Now some of those very much alive people are showing up at the SSA offices with driver's licenses, work permits, and other paperwork in hand proving their existence, forcing the agency to reinstate them, reports the Washington Post. More than 30 people have been taken off SSA's death master file over the past week or so, according to records seen by the Post. Advocates have called the purposeful move digital murder, adding that those with Social Security numbers were in the United States legally. Quote, the police state is here now, close quote, former SSA Administrator Martin O'Malley says. Devin O'Connor, a senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, adds, quote, the administration is saying they have the right to declare someone as dead when they are not, they have not died. Where is the oversight here? Here's how being erroneously considered dead by the SSA has affected two apparent U.S. citizens. And I'll leave that for you to get the link. I have a different point here. I'm not going to go talk about this as a news article and a story. This has consequences. So when are you next, my homegrown American? When will you be digitally murdered by the state without benefit of lawful due process? Or in particular, when you exist in the Siberian gulag and digital death is an immediate benefit for errant behavior or wrong thing? Do people really understand what's at stake here with Donald denying of due process Trump? Or any other like official? There's more to the story again. Just apply this thing, get it to Blogcaster or a description at any BTW Acme syndicator where we've got the account set up and people accept to use their accounts for syndicating that of the network. And again, I hear there are more accounts coming and online and a new platform or two being added as well to bring this thing together and get the word out. As we hear, like earlier, the first report was that BitChute is going to have to move out of the UK. You can't pick it up. And this is where we're going to have to start running around and be better adapted to keep the information coming. In the blink of an eye, the U.S. dictator-in-chief can turn on you, is the whole point about this lack of due process. Trump called CBS to lose its broadcasting license. The broadcaster, quote, should lose, it's just an opinion. It's the problem. Should lose its broadcasting license for pushing biased narratives, the U.S. president insists. Can I just say that violates the First Amendment right up front? Again, people could be wrong. You may not want to agree with it, but they have the right to at least say it. And I think we have the right to listen. And then we can disregard it once we find out. Like a lot of people have. I guess that's the other point. In droves, people are not listening to lamestream media, corporate lame-ass propaganda. Right, Grimmer? The broadcaster should lose its license. Don't get it. That's a violation of the First Amendment. Not his opinion. It should not be in play. CBS News must have its broadcaster license revoked, U.S. President Donald Trump has said. He has accused the network of spreading political bias misinformation in its coverage of the Ukraine conflict and Washington's push to acquire Greenland. Now remember, he's talking as the president here. And he doesn't care about due process. But there's a complaint mechanism for doing this. Not that he doesn't have to say it or he can't say it. He can say it, but he should do it properly. Using the mechanism already established, which provides due process to the accused, he's going to create, even civilly in this regard. Does not include the office of president to do that. Certainly doesn't end there. He's just a private citizen when he does that. Quote, in a Truth Social post on Monday, Trump lashed out at the broadcaster after it aired an interview with Ukraine's Vladimir Zelensky and a segment revisiting the U.S. president's controversial idea to purchase Greenland. Okay, so why didn't Trump object to licensing through a normal complaint process? Sounds like Trudeau going after the Freedom Convoy people. In the Zelensky interview, the network suggested that Trump had sought to exclude Kiev from peace talks with Russia, and that he rewrote history later, falsely, that the Ukraine had started the war and calling Zelensky a dictator without elections. The U.S. president's dictator comment in February was referring to the fact that Zelensky's presidential term expired last year and that he has refused to call a new vote, citing martial law. Trump has since softened his rhetoric. Again, always like to backtrack. About the Ukrainian leader. Well, he can't be a leader, can he? If he's illegitimate. But I've just explained under emergency or existing war powers, Trump is the dictator in chief. So I guess it takes one to know one. But one finger pointing, got three finger pointing back and all, remember. Quote, they are not a news show, but a dishonest political operative simply disguised as news and must be responsible for what they have done and are doing, Trump suggested. They should lose their license. The U.S. leader stressed that CBS should pay a big price for being out of control. What's good for the goose is not good for the gander, so to speak. Just spare us the opinion and file the proper complaint in the proper venue if you can, President Trump. Please, just file it. Show us how to do that well. We should have been seeing that with mainstream media. We should have seen lots of complaints that way. There's a process for it. Because of not doing it, not following due process, Trump looks to me like the same dishonest political operative he calls out Zelensky for, disguised as a legitimate that is unaccountably dictatorial, repeatedly thumbing his nose at the Constitution and established due process needs and requirements. And as he calls for must lose his license, just like he sees in the news show relative to the Kabuki government gaming show, not exposing or relinquishing to the dictatorial power he was knowingly handed by Congress in order that he could make America great again. Again, these emergency powers are killing us. He should have relinquished those immediately, moved to have them relinquished, advocated maybe solely to get them undone. But then he would be exposing that corruption to everyone and pressing Congress to repeal those usurpations of powers if he truly wanted to make America great again. But my question is whether the America we were told ever existed, notwithstanding his son Donald Trump Jr. very recently saying, quote, real leaders fight for peace, not war. But his father is wielding and not denouncing war powers as well as what he committed to genocide and other war crimes against Yemen and others, even giving weapons and intelligence back to Ukraine, and soon to be making war against the homegrown that will and already has morphed since the Patriot Act to target good but clueless people of America who are duped into believing that they are a free Americans instead of the U.S. persons, commerce entity tools the occupying government presumes them. And exploited by Trump, which indicates we have a warmongering leader in Trump that has every opportunity to be the peacemaker, but hasn't and likely won't, because absolute power is a difficult, if not impossible, thing to unilaterally give up, especially with a character like Trump. Feel free to do the research to find an error in my study perspective there and let me know so I can find America to be great again relative to these emergency and war powers. Otherwise, you'll need to throw these occupiers off. Just as international law principles, time out of mind, dictate reality, not the illusion you think is reality. Donald Trump's own son doesn't know the meaning of the truth he told, and likely, nor do many people who are likely conquered mentally, the mind being the most important territory to be defended, invaded, or occupied in man's universe. To a warring dictator, pushback with a means to back it up is the only negotiating tool, because these are not actually negotiations free of threat, such as Trump made earlier to use, quote, military action against Iran if they fail to come to an agreement with the United States, or resorting to extortion or coercion as Trump does at home. We read Steve Witkoff, President Trump's point person on talks with Iran, clarified earlier remarks on Tuesday while the White House could tolerate Iran having a civil nuclear program, saying it wants Tehran to eliminate its nuclear enrichment and weapons program. This is huge, huge, folks. If Trump was a peacemaker, he would have instantly acknowledged Iran's right to nuclear power. Not as an afterthought when he was told by Iran, back off with Satan Yehu's genocidal lawlessness. And by the way, Israel's nukes are now on the table. If Trump is a peacemaker, why does he start as a belligerent thug? Yeah, I really don't get that. He presses that wrong position and he backs off of it. And then we see more of the truth. As I told you, Iran has the right to have nuclear power, civil nuclear power. I just made a statement about that a couple broadcasts ago. And the denials that he isn't a thug cannot answer to the fact that he is, when he doesn't have to be, shouldn't, or ultimately can't be against the people that can effectively resist his pretentious thuggery. Again, you can stand up against him, he'll back down like any bully. Why can't he be the teddy bear Trump, respecting people in the first instance instead of acting like a sideshow Manhattan mauler? Well, unless the perpetual WWE administration for your wrestling entertainment and exploitation, right, puppet dictator Pinocchio Linsky? The big show, folks. Except this is serious, serious business that he's playing, and he ought not to do it. And again, where's Trump the teddy bear? And a more public-private terrorism averted in the war to alienate our language, understanding likely only because it's getting too embarrassing, we hear UK Supreme Court rules on a definition of woman. A campaign group in Scotland had challenged that the government's attempts to allow transgender individuals into roles reserved for women. The UK Supreme Court ruled on Wednesday that the term woman... Can I ask the question, interject this one? Why is this a question? Hey, here it is. See? This is what they do. And gladly we get the right and better answer. As I've said before, this is partly why I'm springing this up. It doesn't take a judge to figure this out. We all have the power to read the dictionaries, to understand science, everything we're supposed to be told, to be able to come up with our answers without an official stamp of approval. But this is the way we're wired. They ruled the term woman refers to biological sex, not gender identity, meaning that transgender individuals who were born male are not legally considered women for the purpose of single-sex protections. The ruling comes from and after the Four Women Scotland Rights Campaign challenged the Scottish Government law aimed at increasing the number of women on public boards, which included transgender women with a legal recognition as female. The group claimed this violated the UK-wide Equality Act of 2010, a law that protects people from discrimination based on the characteristics like sex, race, and disability. They asked the UK Supreme Court to confirm that woman in the act means biological female, not someone assigned to female status through a gender recognition certificate. In its judgment, the court stated that, quote, the terms woman and sex in the Equality Act of 2010 refer to a biological woman and biological sex, adding that the interpreting sex to include acquired gender, quote, would lead to incoherence, close quote, in provisions protecting women on the basis of pregnancy, maternity, and other sex-specific criteria. The government spokesman responding to the judgment stated that the ruling, quote, brings clarity and confidence for women and service providers such as hospitals, refugees, and sports clubs. The spokesman added that the, quote, single-sex spaces are protected in law and will always be protected by this government. My observation on that is remedy after infringement is not protection. It's injustice, an ongoing governmental breach, and societal embarrassment requiring clarification, as we just got here. Lord Hodge, one of the presiding justices, also noted that the court did not view the rulings as, quote, a triumph of one group over another, and that it was simply necessary to provide legal clarity on the meaning of the terms in existing legislation. Legal clarity? It's not obvious? Or is this another admission that the codes are the special, unnatural language of your occupiers? British author J.K. Rowling, one of the most prominent supporters for Women Scotland, also hailed the court's ruling. Quote, it took three extraordinary, tenacious Scottish women with an army behind them to get this case heard by the Supreme Court, and in winning, they've protected the rights of women and girls across the UK, the writer said on X. Amazing, though, isn't that? X becomes the central point for all this. It blows me away. Anyway, every time I read that, we all go to X. What was protected by a government whose parliament threatened the right through legislation that infringed the protected right requiring an army of the population effort involving the expensive, time-consuming, throw-of-the-dice lawsuit, putting the protected right in jeopardy to clarify what being a woman is, and that to be treated a woman is a protected right, is an injustice. I'm not saying it was a wrong decision. I'm saying they had to go to get the stamp of approval on something that was supposed to be clearly stated. It shouldn't have been contorted. Where was the government insisting before the protection given it didn't know the answer to? And why didn't it know that answer? Is the government of a foreign occupier that doesn't know the English language, that also doesn't enact laws that the common Brit can understand? If the government officials are that ignorant, then what can be considered protected then? I listen to this, I read this stuff, and I'm just flabbergasted. But what are we doing to ourselves as people and these government people that will come out and talk like they do? Oh, it's always protected. No, it wasn't. You made legislation against it. It had to be clarified because it's not normal language. And if they don't know, and it can't be protected up front, wouldn't that prove all the laws are invalid because no one knows what they are, what they say, until they're told, and not until the right is put in jeopardy and infringement found? The infringement happened there at the legislation. So what's protection here? How? Why do the commoners put up with this incapacity that's in people? The officials I'm talking about. The people always have the capacity, whether they want to use it or not. But quite amazing story here, we're told. How is it a right when it wasn't protected? It wasn't known. How did the government always protect it? Why did the legislature make a law against it if it was unlawful? Amazing. And this is the testing that goes on to bring your nations down. It's not just the UK. We're seeing it all over the place. Another way you don't want to be alienated. Soviet soldiers petrified after contact with aliens. Soviet soldiers died after contact with the inhabitants of a downed extraterrestrial UFO. This is stated in a declassified document published on the CIA website. If the KGB dossier is true, then this is an extremely threatening case. Aliens have such weapons and technologies that surpass all our assumptions. They can stand up for themselves if they're attacked, the a CIA representative is quoted in the report, the Strana newspaper writes. The document says that the information received by intelligence contained data on a low-flying saucer-shaped spacecraft over a Soviet unit participating in the exercises. According to its authors, for unknown reasons, the soldiers launched a surface-to-air missile at an unknown aircraft, as a result of which it crashed near a military base. It is noted that five short humanoids with big heads and big black eyes appeared from the crashed spacecraft and merged together, creating a single object while making a loud buzzing sound. Then the spherical object flashed with a blinding bright light. As a result, only two men out of 23 survived because they were in the shadows and were not completely exposed to the flash of light. The others were petrified. According to the Canadian Weekly World News, the alleged incident occurred between 1989 and 1990. It was first reported in 1993. According to RIA Novosti, the CIA published a dossier about the alleged deaths of Soviet soldiers after a UFO encounter, citing an article from the Ukrainian newspaper. Quote, at the very beginning of the document, it is indicated that the text is a reprint of an article entitled Cosmic Revenge from the Ukrainian newspaper Ternopil Evening, which was also published in the Kiev newspaper Voice of Ukraine in March 27, 1999. And with all this advanced capability, they couldn't avoid a Soviet-era SAM missile system? So is that the takeaway, too, that they agree with genocide, that they don't stop it in Palestine, that the wrongfulness of genocide is not a universal principle? That this alien looks at you no different than any other animal, just like the Zionists looking out only for number one, no universal empathy, whether of terrestrial or extraterrestrial origin, and then they resorted to a Samson option? Sounds fairly menacing to me. How about you? More on this story, a little bit. More information would coming out different places. I'd grab another link. A declassified CIA document here report of an alleged UFO attack on Soviet soldiers in the dying days of the USSR has gone viral after being posted on the agency's website. It goes through pretty much the same. I would give you this link because there's little bitty differences. They're all similar, but they show little different facts that bring a little bit more clarity to this story. And I also have the document that they refer to. But what caught me was that they said this petrification, this source of energy. Now I'm looking at that now, this technology. The bodies of the victims were reportedly recovered by the Red Army and taken to a secret research laboratory outside Moscow, where it was discovered their molecular structure was now identical to that of limestone, with the light that petrified them attributed to a source of energy not currently known to humanity. So for reference, limestone is a sedimentary rock primarily composed of calcium carbonate in the form of a mineral calcite or aragonite. It's including the Great Pyramids and the Giza and the Parthenon in Athens. They were constructed using limestone for reference there. The pillars of stone these soldiers were. The calcite is a salt having been formed from the reaction of an acid, a carbonic acid, and a base called calcium hydroxide. Isn't it Lot's wife was told not to look back at Sodom to avoid becoming a pillar of salt? Quote, if the KGB file corresponds to reality, this is an extremely menacing case. An unnamed CIA analyst is quoting as saying in the response to the tale. Quote, the aliens possess such weapons and technology that go beyond our assumptions. They can stand up for themselves if attacked. Found this fascinating story. The energy is what got me. What would turn your biology into limestone and reduced it down to calcium carbonate that quick, and it can be stopped by shadows. Just fascinating. What technology, what energy will change molecular structures. It's pretty interesting. And where they petrified the Russians, Americans will be unfazed, apparently. I'm talking about technology that no one knows about. We're going to make a boast now. The U.S. can manipulate time and space. The White House President Trump recently claimed that the country possesses weapons, quote, nobody has any idea about. Trump has recently alluded to advanced technologies not yet revealed to the public. As a side note, some of that has been talked to by these extraterrestrials that they've given us in trade for certain other things, maybe even abductions. Back to this. The U.S. possesses technology that can manipulate and bend time and space. White House innovation czar, Michael Kratsios has claimed. Trump's innovation czar, folks. That makes America great again, right, Putin? Kratsios delivered the remarks at the Endless Frontiers Retreat in Austin, Texas, just weeks after being confirmed as the director of White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. He emphasized President Donald Trump's ambition to usher in the new golden age of America, which includes fostering scientific research and the application of cutting-edge technologies. According to Kratsios, the U.S. can emerge as a global leader by making smart choices regarding public funding and deregulating innovation. Our technologies permit us to manipulate time and space that leave distance annihilated, cause things to grow, and improve productivity, he stated without elaborating. Improving productivity. What's that have to do with bending time and space as a weapon? Well, nothing. But it unequivocally does reference something else to those with the eyes to see. I hope I'm emphasizing these words to show you what it looks like they're really talking about. And he mentions things to grow. What things grow in manipulating space-time? Like a fungus? A killer cancer? What things? But anyway, on this time and space capability, Doge needs to investigate SpaceX, NASA, NASA, Blue Origin, and all the other space programs committing fraud, waste, and abuse of our environment through rocket technology. And the Pentagon and the military industrial complex needs to be investigated for needing to exist at all, given we have the technology to manipulate time and space to make war obsolete. Or by removing the space or territory to fight the war in, if not jumping past that time or nipping the cause in the bud so it doesn't exist. So why did Trump just waste another $1 trillion on a defense budget if he knows this and wants to make America great again, more than making his billionaire buddies richer and to continue genocide? Later in his speech, Kratsios insisted that overcoming the sclerosis of the state would enable Americans to achieve scientific discoveries that will bend time and space, make more with less, and drive us further into the endless frontier. Oh, here, discoveries that will bend time and space. So, like some juvenile delinquent trying to impress the adults in the room, Trump's administration really didn't mean the U.S. could bend space and time more than his operative just bent the truth to space bend our ear over time. Similarly, here, the CDC used the science to bend the truth during the great COVID swindle, right? Or that manipulating time and space meant more than each one of us can bend time at least an hour twice a year in the space of a moment to do so. And then maybe the U.S. doesn't really have the flux capacitor to get back to the future, Dr. Emmett Brown? How about it, Marty McFly? Jeez, never mind, Elon. And that by making smart choices, S-M-A-R-T choices, regarding public funding and deregulating innovation and distance annihilation, Trump really means subverting Americans as they conceive themselves about the United States through long existing foreign trade zones around every port, like airports, as Clint Richardson described in his video that I was just sent, amazing how this all comes together, their exploited purpose, these foreign trade zones, allowing to import the import of cheap, even slave labor to remove U.S. peasant jobs sustainably, as in smart cities and their surveillance, right, Xi Jinping? Or annihilating the distance between a foreign national company in foreign trade, in a foreign trade zone, and the country of its origin because they are not legally considered in the United States, but they're in their own country because they exist within 60 miles of a border or a port inside the United States pursuant to a Depression era federal act and a permission of the Rockefeller group, a public-private, i.e. fascist extraterritorial regime. That annihilation of the U.S. itself is what I think we're watching in those statements. We can talk real weird about weapons, but this is a weapon against us, but it's based in some law and based in the application of what's going on. So is that what Kratzios is really talking about, Trump? While you remain silent or ignorant? Or as Jefferson Mining District sued the method of domestic destruction enabling foreign trade zones in our 2013 suit to the default judgment, meaning Trump is onshoring not American self-sufficiency, but sustainable servitude, globalization, as I expose Trump intends while saying the U.S. will exit the WHO, but promotes all the same foreign constructs domestically, such as with Stargate. And rather than the U.K.'s Prime Minister Keir Starmer deceptively claiming that globalization has died with Trump's tariffs, instead Trump is allowing what I called in the blogcaster last episode, the globalismization, domesticating, reorganizing, onshoring, and monopolizing supply chains, the slave chains, the blockchains of globalism into existing federal infrastructure and Rockefeller Group permission. But you mean that improving productivity, like workforce productivity for the corporations, not Americans so-called, through slave labor in foreign trade zones near you, stealing your wage slave U.S. peasant jobs, that improvement in productivity? And while private equity bankrupts the rest of the corporations, while leveraged funding pays for the foreign privilege through property tax extortion, destroying local property owners through fraud and ad valorem taxation on properties the U.S. and state governments are to protect forever, but for the foreign usurpers of the public-private bar association occupying judicial branches of government, ignoring that to promote sustainable development, that you have no property and you like it. Which I've learned you routinely over the years behind the woodshed. And same as the Rockefeller Group, Rockefeller LLC, permitting a foreign trade zone over or near you since 1978 evades even that judicial jurisdiction. You're watching veneers of authority coming up that don't participate with our normal establishment. It's right before us. The technology we don't understand, we don't know about. Well, yeah, this is it. But you put it through the filter of what I've been talking about and you start seeing a different picture. This is not cool, folks. Not cool in the least. They evade the judicial jurisdictions to evade justice. And it's all in favor of corporations. Most Americans don't see their imminent incremental destruction at all. It's already upon them. This cancer has metastasized, as I've been exampling for decades. But real ID, so you can vote harder, right? And no, any Second Amendment right you thought you had cannot be used directly against this usurpacious destroyer, especially where stealthily, deceptively promoted, fostered, and encouraged by the billionaire boys. Right, Trump? So it's really time to get behind the woodshed. Pronto. But as I think about it, maybe this developing news about the power of ivermectin and lipids that destroy parasites and other ailments is a sign we should heed and translate into our organic power in defense of ourselves in our nation. And to bring you up to speed to what I just went through real quickly on just looking at that story and using my magic decoder ring, if you will, my experience that I've somehow got through in these last couple decades, when I looked at that, made a whole new meaning to me, as I just explained. Just so happens, as the week progressed and these nuances are presented to us, and as I extract them, Shali posted Clint's video. It's entitled Foreign Trade Zones. It fairly gets to the points of some of what I've been saying and integrated nicely here with this subject matter this week. It deciphers better than Trump's innovation seminar. What he actually is saying is, as I described it, if you didn't know, but apply the information Clint has assembled. As always, Clint does a fine job with this video presentation, pulling together a lot of information in a short space, despite his presentation. I say short, but the presentation is over 4 hours. But you'd be time well spent to listen in order to get quickly up to speed or even to start your own study of what we're up against with this Trump dynamic that's going on. As I said, we sued it back in 2013. It's not new. It's been going on. The law that he points out is back from the 1930s, the Depression era. I hope this, in a way, becomes an action in opposition to these public, private, techno-fascist overthrowing your way of life for you when you see it. You'll hear a lot of things I've talked about over those 4 hours in time. The 400-plus pages he walks you through, he tells you at the end. For instance, he'll show you where sustainable development is playing in all this. The leverage funding I talk about exists. It's a real thing, and it's what I've said it does. It's what keyed me into how to set up our 2013 JMD lawsuit. You'll see how long this stuff has been around, with nary a peep from anyone in government that anything is wrong. See, it's a repeatable method that it's just simple to apply, in this case, to what's called foreign trade zones or transportation reinvestment zones. They can be applied to just about any zoning or clusters or anything within your code enforcement, all that. So I'll let Clint do the heavy lifting and allow you to observe what we're up against, certainly in part, even if it's only that you obtain an insight to peer behind the curtain of the great Oz, whoever is pretending to be that at any time in many different subject matters or aspects of our lives. Remember, sustainable development is 17 different areas of your life these thieves want to take from you and imprison you by. So for one of my themes today, as I partly discussed last episode, U.S. foreign trade zones, FTCs, prove globalization is not dead and won't be, despite what U.K. Starmer says, to lead you astray or what you think Trump is doing. The foreign trade zones are commerce. They are global. The territories that allow corporations to exploit people, what I've titled in the heading of last broadcast for last week was globalismization. Globalization is a process toward globalism. Globalization is the foreign trade zone bypass. International private law pursuant to government authorization. It's the public-private partnership you live under now if you're anywhere near a port within 60 miles. In a word, it's fascism. It's not limited to that, but that's one of them, public and private. The foreign trade means enslaved people. So to understand the information Clint presented will be to free your mind of some of the cognitive warfare techniques used to instill fear or uncertainty due to misdirection, which keeps you captured, essentially, despite that you might think that you're not. There's many layers to this rotting onion. I thank Clint for what he's put together there. I was able to tear through it. Any little disagreements we have are very small. They're not going to be changing what he says there for the most part. It's just a perception. Like I say, he says we're conquered, yet he finds that we have things to do. So I'm telling you my thought, we're not conquered yet. We could be conquered. We appear conquered. Clint believes we have something we can do. I believe we have something we can do. And conquered people have nothing to do. So we have something we can do. And will we do it is a very interesting thing, notwithstanding all the corruption and nonsense we see and whatever else is going on in defense of ourselves. This has been BTW RLM 624. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Willing.
It goes cold, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close. Lessons to learn, dose by dose.
an unquenchable thirst behind the woodshed. No stone unturned, house words ignite, the airways burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. So mark the time when Sunday comes, behind the woodshed, beating drums. House voice, a beacon, fierce and bold, in the fight for truth. Next week, heed the call, behind the woodshed standing tall.